From the Center for Investigative Reporting in PRX, this is a special edition of Reveal. I'm Al Letton. And this weekend, the San Francisco Bay Area, where we're based, was supposed to be the site of rallies by right-wing groups and counter-protesters on the left. My colleague, Will Carlos, has been covering these groups for Reveal. So, Will, lay out what the plan was this weekend.
So the rally that people thought was going to be the biggest one was going to be on Saturday morning. And this was called by a group called Patriot Prayer out of Portland, headed by this guy, Joey Gibson. It was essentially billed as a free speech rally. It came right on the heels of Charlottesville. And the organizer even admitted it was really just kind of a way to provoke the political left in San Francisco. So it was going to be a group of kind of controversial speakers. We're going to come together at a park. The Sunday event was arranged by a transgender woman by the name of Amber Cummings, and that was billed as a No to Marxism in America rally. It was very clearly meant, again, as a provocation. It was organized by people to the right of the political spectrum, and it was really a way to kind of upset the left.
So I want to back up a little bit, because on Saturday, this big rally that was supposed to happen didn't actually happen. It just fizzled out.
Right. And not only did it not happen, but it changed locations a few times. You had thousands of people marching through San Francisco, some of them militants, a lot of them just there to kind of express good old San Francisco peace and love, kind of looking for where these people were, and they kept going to different places and they could never find them. Eventually, I guess some of them did turn out late in the evening, flanked by a lot of police. But the event didn't quite go as planned.
And so on Sunday morning, we had a whole team of reporters out and about ready to see what happened, including reporter Michael Montgomery. So, Michael, tell us what you saw.
So we arrived in the morning at a place called Ohlone Park, which is a few blocks from downtown Berkeley.
Bay resistance in the house.
And essentially what you had is a lot of protesters, ostensibly counter-protesters, groups from the progressive left, who had arrived to make a showing to, quote, defend their community from the right wing, from Nazis, from racists, from fascists. You know, keeping in mind that Charlottesville is not that far in the past and the fallout from Charlottesville. So there's actually a lot of emotion. I mean, people wanted to make a showing. They felt that there would be people they perceived as fascists coming to town. And they sort of felt they wanted to defend their community. And that was sort of the general slogan.
And in the beginning of the morning, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but it felt pretty, for lack of a better term, genteel, right? Like it was a typical, what you would think of a Berkeley protest. A lot of older people, very mixed crowd. I saw a couple kids out there. I mean, I wouldn't say like it was a family event, but it definitely, there were definitely families there.
Yeah, there was a moment, actually, Al, when that changed. And it was at about noon, and I was actually walking up with a young man, a member of the Antifa, a guy by the name of Vincent Yokelson, who was actually arrested in Berkeley on April 15th. And I was talking to him.
There's a large crowd of Antifas.
Yeah, so we're just looking. There's a huge, I'd say about 100 people, all dressed in black, just marching towards the main crowd. That's pretty intimidating right there. Yeah. You seen that before?
Oh, yeah. It looks good to me. That's like a pride sign. That's good. You see a bunch of your brothers and sisters walking up, dressed ready. It's good. You want that.
And what we're describing there is we suddenly saw this kind of platoon of black-clad protesters coming marching around the corner in very tight formation, some of them banging on their shields, waving flags.
When I looked at them, I thought they were riot police coming in. I sort of took a quick glance and I thought, oh my God, the Berkeley police is going to try to shut this thing down. But no, they were the Antifa, the anti-fascists, or what some people call the Black Bloc, coming down to join the larger rally that was getting ready to march to downtown Berkeley.
So while you guys are at Ohlone Park and the Black Bloc has just shown up, I'm at the Civic Center. The police presence was really heavy. They were everywhere, and they were in their riot gear. And I noticed that all the police officers had these long batons instead of the short batons that you normally see. And they had guns that were there to shoot off tear gas. Some of them had gas masks on. Some of them had eye protection. But they looked like they were ready for business.
And the cops were there because, I mean, that's been the site of previous protests before, previous violent protests that got very violent, more violent than today. But also because that's where the right wing, if they were going to be anywhere, they were going to be there. That's where they were going to gather, and that's where the fights were going to happen.
But clearly it wasn't happening because the protesters and the people of Berkeley just came out and swamped that park. And until the Black Bloc came down, it was a pretty civil event. I mean, people were just talking to each other.
I just want to look in your eyes. Can you look in my eyes? I'm wondering, when you look in my eyes, do you see someone who's different than you?
No.
Can you make a connection with other people that you see? When you look around, people who are marching for peace and freedom.
Can I make a connection with them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, everybody wants peace and freedom.
At some point, the police decided to let the Black Bloc come into the park where most of the other protesters were, and people just kind of jumped over the barricades and came through. And then the police sort of moved to the flank.
At that point, Al, I actually saw a couple of the people I'd seen earlier that morning who were sort of on the right side of things, who were more kind of conservatives who had showed up to actually do the protest. I saw one of them getting chased out by a group of protesters. Eventually the police formed a ring around him. They grabbed his Make America Great Again hat and were sort of throwing it up in the air. So you saw basically whatever stragglers there were from the original protest left. They got out of there pretty quickly.
And then Joey Gibson showed up. Now, he's the guy that scheduled the protest that was going to be in San Francisco on Saturday that actually never happened. And this guy is a lightning rod. He is there to antagonize the left. And Joey was striding forward, unapologetic. He had his friend Tiny behind him. Tiny is a big guy, and he's got these shoulder pads on. And under the shoulder pads, he's got this white T-shirt that has kind of an American flag. They acted like they were the bait on the end of a hook, and someone had just thrown it into the ocean, into a pile of fish. And those fish started following that bait. So I'm running with Joey, filming him as everybody is coming through the barricades and people are trying to reach him and swing at him, but they're just a little bit out of range. And Tiny grabs Joey and the two of them kind of make their way towards the police. And the police are just standing there really stoic and don't want to let them pass. But eventually the police let them in when they see like this whole group of people is coming towards them. Right when they grabbed Joey, I heard something else to my left, and I turned, and I saw another guy. Now, I don't know if he was with Joey or Tiny or not. I think he might have been, and he tripped or somebody tripped him, and he was on the ground. And surrounding him was like four or five guys. And I saw someone take a flagpole and swing it down and just hit him really hard. And when I looked behind them, I saw a whole mass of people that were coming from the yard into the neighborhood. Now, these are all the left wing. They're both Black Bloc. They're just regular protesters as well, just coming. And a lot of them probably didn't even see what was going on with this guy on the ground. But, you know, my head, like, automatically, I just thought, oh, my God, like, there's, like, this whole little army of people that they're going to end up killing this guy. And then I just jumped on top of him and held him, and I put my back up to shield him because somebody was hitting him with a flagpole. Another person was punching and kicking, and I got punched and kicked like once or twice, nothing major. I felt like every time they hit me, when they realized it was me, they kind of pulled their punch a little bit. So I didn't get injured. Those cops were still there. And I'm sure they could see what was happening, but they weren't doing anything at all. And all of this happened, like, really quickly. And the whole time I thought, well, first I thought, oh, my God, they're going to kill him. And then I thought, oh, my God, they're going to kill me. And then it just suddenly stopped. Then I believe a tear gas grenade was fired, and it kind of dispersed the area. It was really, really intense.
Yeah, I was kind of on the fringes of that. And I mean, your instinct was to follow. My instinct, I'm not ashamed to admit, was to turn and flee. Like, I turned and I got out of there. And you know, I've actually talk to some of the people who were involved in that attack, or at least one of the people that was involved in that attack. And he kind of told me how he thought it went down.
Did you land any punches?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I was right in the middle.
There's a lot of buzz going around now that the police didn't properly protect the protesters that came to Berkeley. Let's be very clear. There were hours during which there were scores of policemen there ready and willing to protect anybody who was talking. The moment that they left, 20 minutes later, this guy arrives kind of looking for a fight.
I mean, when we talked about Joey Gibson, I mean, you do wonder how much of his activities are really just about getting Joey Gibson more publicity.
It's also all about getting negative publicity focused on these far left, black bloc, anti-fascist protesters as well. A lot of these people on the conservative side of politics in this country today, they say that those groups, that those people who wear masks, who show up, who try to shut down protests, that they are the real fascists because they're the ones that are silencing people who just want to get up and speak, who don't want to fight. Now, that kind of breaks down when they show up, obviously, spoiling for a fight, which is what appears to have happened.
Well, and there's calls for Antifa, however that's defined, these anti-fascist left-wing groups to be branded terrorists. Trump mentioned Antifa in one of his recent speeches. So it you know, there's definitely a larger narrative on the conservative right about Antifa and what they believe it means.
Michael, there were very few incidents of violence here. The one major one, like, obviously I was a part of. But on a whole, this was a pretty peaceful march. There was a lot of antagonism. There was a lot of anger in the air, but violence itself, you know, with little sparks here and there, but it wasn't like an all-out riot. The question I have is, do you think that people are now more willing to get violent when faced with right-wing causes?
Well, that's a really interesting question. And I agree that most overwhelming number of the people who turned out, families, older people, I mean, they were there for peaceful purposes, to make a stand in their view against racism or Nazism or whatever, thinking a lot about Charlottesville and what happened there. I do think that at least for the Bay Area, there is some significance that this black bloc, Antifa, these people in black ready to fight, were on the front lines, were accepted as a kind of extension of that demonstration, and that people say that if you're talking about defending your community, A, you have to turn out and not stay at home like some city leaders were saying, and B, you have to be ready to defend yourselves or accept that there's going to be people in your movement who that's going to be their job. And this was the black bloc in this case. So, yes, in the Bay Area context, I think something was shifting.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, so I've been working on a story actually about Antifa for several weeks. So I've been talking to these people. I talked to these people pre-Charlottesville. I talked to these people pre these protests. And even a month ago, this was very much a kind of a fringe group. Now, when they show up, people know who they are. People are starting to use that term more and more. A month ago, it was difficult to find anybody who was self-identifying as Antifa. Now, people are writing it on their helmets and waving flags and all the rest of it. You're seeing more and more Facebook pages like pop up all over the place. So this is becoming a real movement. It was always there. It was there, but it was fragmented. It was in these different groups that would show up, you know, two or three here, a couple here. Now there's sort of this banner that they're getting underneath, and we saw that really starkly today.
So before all this, like, white supremacists were bad. People who protest against them were good. But with the rise of the Antifa movement, you know, what do we have now? Is there an equivalency?
I don't think there's an equivalency because you have to look at the reason that these people are doing what they do. When you talk to young, angry men, and most of them are men who are coming out and doing these things, they're doing it because they see that they are proactively trying to, what they say is, defend their community. So it's very different to a group, say the alt-right, for example, who are trying to spread their message and change. They're trying to fundamentally change the rules and the laws of our country. Now, the far right have tried very hard to paint Antifa as anarchists. Okay, now there are anarchists within this group, no question, but Antifa doesn't have a stated goal of bringing anarchism to America. They're not trying to kick certain people out. They're literally, the vast majority of these people you talk to, they're just about one thing, and that's saying to certain people, we don't want you in our community, we don't want you saying these things, and we're not going to let you do that. And if you come here, we're going to kick you out.
Well, guys, thanks for coming in. Mr. Will Carlos, our reporter working on the Hate Beat, and Mr. Michael Montgomery, producer for Reveal. And if you want to reach out and talk to me, you can hit me up at al_Letson on Twitter. Reveal is a co-production of the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. And remember, there is always more to the story.